All right. Thank you very much for coming, everyone. Good morning. It's a tremendous accomplishment just to get here this morning. I know the weather outside is terrible to walk out on a Sunday morning. This is the worst Sunday morning of the year in order to getting anywhere on time. My office is open this morning, and they already told me we are never opening on the day we change the clock again. Please don't do that. I have enough problem getting people to my office on time on a regular Sunday. Today is ridiculous because half the people, more than half the people, don't change their clocks until like tomorrow or Tuesday. So thank you very much for coming. I'd certainly support the idea the school's putting together here to have this on a more regular basis. It's something very important. I think it's, as Rabbi Freeman mentioned this morning, it's very important to demonstrate that Torah learning is important, and that's the priority. And I know it's difficult. All of our lives are crazy, as a father's for sure, to be able to set aside the time. Sunday morning is easier than the rest of the week, but even that, many of us are still working on Sunday mornings, and to set a few hours aside isn't the easiest thing. Learning together with your son is one of the greatest things you can do with your son long term in terms of the memory, even if it doesn't seem that way in the moment all the time. It's certainly one of the memories one has long term that stays with someone. This relationship that you create with Torah learning is really above anything you could possibly do with the children together. So I do think it's very, very important. The topic I chose today to do is drinking on Purim. It's a very popular topic for sure. Timely also. Purim's coming up, God willing, next week. For me personally, Purim is my favorite day of the year. There's no question. My family knows my favorite day of the year. Some of it has to do with the fact that my name is Mordechai. I'm sure that has a factor in why it became my favorite day of the year. Also, on a much more deeper connection, my grandfather's Yahrzeit is Purim. And my son, who's named for my grandfather, whose Yahrzeit is on Purim, his bar mitzvah is on Shushan Purim. He was born on Shushan Purim. And I was blessed. I'm very grateful that I was blessed to be able to celebrate his bar mitzvah in Israel, in Yerushalayim, on Shushan Purim. So he was able to lay Megillah in memory also of my grandfather, who never heard me lay Megillah. I laid it every year since his first Yahrzeit, and he has not heard. He never got a chance to hear me. But it is my son, whose name for him, did have that opportunity, and thank God continues to do so until today. All right, so the topic, many years ago when I was in Gross Kollel, almost 25 years ago, this was a very sore topic, for sure, because clearly the popular idea about drinking on Purim is that there's an obligation to get drunk on Purim. Apparently the popular idea is it's also important to get drunk on Simchas Torah, and it's also important to get drunk in every Shalom Zachar, and in any Kiddush Club, there's a whole list of opportunities where it's important to get drunk. And I think the most important thing we see whenever we look at Torah is this Torachah Darchei Noam. There is no doubt it's a pleasant Torah. The ways are pleasant. If I have memories of seeing Kollel guys with their wives vomiting on the table in front of their students with the wives on the floor scraping it all up and cleaning it all up. That would probably not fall under this category, in my opinion, of Torachah Darchei Noam. However, if there is a halacha, you have to follow the halacha. We always submit to the halacha. We have to find out, then, what is the balance here? What are we trying to accomplish? What is the obligation? And more importantly today, I think we're going to walk away with is why. What's the point of all this altogether? I think that's the most important thing, to never lose sight of why we're doing something. It's nice to do it right, but then understand there's a purpose to it. The Torah isn't just this, hey, here's a list of things, let's do things, because we want to be different than the rest of the world around us. Although getting drunk isn't so different than the rest of the world around us. So the beginning has to always be in the Gemara. First source of the Gemara, Amar Rava, Michai Vinish Levasum Vipuria, Adilo Yada Ben Or Haman Levarach Mordechai. These are the words, I wrote them on the board here also, because we're going to see this phrase in the Gemara has several problems to it immediately. The words are Michai Vinish. So many of the Rishonim, we're only going to touch on some of the Rishonim that are listed in these sources that I gave you. There are many, many more, all with the same ideas in the same categories. The first question is, this is a weird language, Michayev Inish. Usually it says in the Torah, Chayev, man is obligated. Usually also it says Chayev Adam, not Chayev Inish. We might not get to that today, but Chayev Inish. So me, why is it Michayev Inish? Why is it Inish? What does Levasume mean? And this is not calibrated again. Before Yom Purim, Ad Delo Yada, until you don't know. The word ad, those of you who have learned Maseches Brachos, know that there's a whole discussion in the fourth paragraph of Brachos of what in the word ad, until, doesn't mean ad ve'ad bichlal, until, and including it, ad ve'lo ad bichlal, or up until it starts. Meaning I'm doing something until the fourth hour of the day. Does it mean until the fourth hour starts, or is it including the fourth hour? There's the question as to what the word ad means. So that's ad, until you don't know, bain, between, or Haman levarach Mordechai, the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. And then there's a story. Rabbi Zera, as you see inside here, Rabbi Zera, to Amoraim, of Du Sudas Purim Bahadi Hadadi. They made a Sudas Purim together. They had friends and they made Purim together. Ibsum, they drank. Come Rabbi, Rabbi got up, Shachted Rabbi Zera. He shechted Rabbi Zera. The Machar, the next day, Boy Rachame Vachaye. He was very upset that he did such a thing. So he dove into Hashem, tefillah is very important, as you all know, and he brought him back to life. Lashana Amale, the next year, Rabbi calls up Rabbi Zera and says to him, Nesemar, Vinabi Sudas Purim, Bahadi Hadadi. Come on over. Let's have Sudas Purim together. Sudas Purim together. Amarle, Rabbi Zera says to him, Lo b'chol sha'asa v'sha'asa misrach eshenisa. No thank you. You're not allowed to rely on a miracle every minute of every day. I know what happened last year. I have some memory of it. I'd rather not go through that experience again. I'm not coming. Thanks for the invitation. So that's the story in the Gemara. That's it. So the last question is, what is this story doing here also after the statement? So we have a question about Michaev, Inish, Levasume, Ad, and then the story here are all questions about what this Gemara really means. Well, that certainly could be. There are drushos about that. That Sheth is embarrassing him or insulting him for sure, because it's someone who embarrasses someone is if you killed him. So there are definitely those that bring that back. And then if that's the case, then by Rachmi, he davened him to that he'd forgive him, and then he brings him back to life by forgiving him. That's all true. Another way to look at the story. Either way, it doesn't explain why the story is here altogether, though, and why it's brought after the statement, but that is an absolutely true way to understand the story. Very, very good. The Ron writes, "Umichayev levasumi adilo yada." Mike Amar, what is it talking about? The Chos of Rabbeinu Ephraim Mizal. He quotes another Rishon, Rabbeinu Ephraim, who says, "Meyahu uvda de kamraba v'shachted Rabbi Zera." From this very story that Rabba came and shachted Rabbi Zera, k'deisa b'gemara, as it's written in the Gemara, idchi le'memra de Rabba. It pushes off, or knocks out, or sets aside the statement of Rabba, which was the first statement here, "Umichayev inish." V'lo shapidami le'mevar hachin. One should not do such a thing. So the Ron, right away on the Gemara, says the Gemara is laid out in a certain way. We have this statement here actually made by Rava. Rava is a generation after this story. So to have this story following that, he says, what's the layout of the Gemara? They had a question, Michayev Inish, actually, is a man obligated to drink such a way? Gives a statement, and then they give a story. And what's the point of the story? Look what happens if you were to do such a thing. It's the wrong thing to do. Therefore, no! The halach is not to do such a thing, and one should not do that. And that's the way the Ron learns the Gemara based on this Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Korban Asano is a commentary on the Rosh, and he says also, explaining now, ad v'lo yada. Ad, he explains explicitly, ad v'lo ad v'chlal. It's until and not past that point in time. Dezeu higil l'shichruso shalot. Because once you get past that level where you drink so much that you don't know the difference between Orah Haman and Baruch Mordechai, you're at the drunkenness of Lot. Lot, as we all know, the story is, Lot got drunk, and he ended up sleeping with both of his daughters and having children with both of his daughters. So he's that drunk is certainly not an appropriate level one should ever be at as a Ben Torah, ever, and therefore that can't be what they're requesting. So he's implying that there's a mitzvah to drink until that level, but certainly past that level is definitely no mitzvah whatsoever, and one should not get to that point. The Beis Yosef. This is a very important Beis Yosef, I think, because the Beis Yosef was written, of course, by anyone? Who wrote the Beis Yosef? Anyone? Orachaim is one of his columns he wrote in the Shulchan Aruch. Same author as the Shulchan Aruch, that's right. Rabbi Yosef Kar, very good, Tom. Rabbi Yosef Kar wrote Beis Yosef. This is his commentary on the Torah, which means, in my opinion, and most people, you would say, if you're going to learn what the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to understand what the very same person wrote in the Beis Yosef. It's the same person. He's writing the same thing on the same halachos. So to learn one independent of the other doesn't seem to make much sense to me. So what does he write in the Beis Yosef? The Chos of Haran, quotes the Ran. B'shem Rabbeinu Ephraim, exactly as he says, and exact quote of the Ran until the second line, that one should not do such a thing. This is, and then the two dots in the middle of the second line, Kasuv Be'orchos Chaim. He quotes another Sefer, which says, Chayav Inish Levasume B'Purya, a man is obligated to basume b'purim, drink on Purim. Lo sheish taker, not to get drunk. Shashichrus, because drunkenness, strong words now. Isur gamor. It's an absolute prohibition to be drunk. This is Hilchos Purim. Absolute isur to be drunk. The ein lecha aveira gedola mizah. There is no greater sin than being drunk. Shehu gorein legilu yarayos v'shlichos damim v'chama aveira zulasan. Because getting drunk will lead you to do the big three. Gilu yarayos, shlichos damim, and other sins. But what you should do is drink a little more than you're normally used to doing. That's it. Get a little buzzed, a little tipsy, whatever it might be. That's it. This is the Beis Yosef himself is writing. It is absolutely prohibited. Isur gamor. Ein lecha avera gedola mizo. There is no greater sin. I do not. That's right off the bat. That gives away what the theme of the rest of the shiur I think would be. I don't know how anybody can then say there's an obligation to get drunk. He's pretty strong in his wording. He writes it like that. So clearly he has to redefine some of these words to not mean drunk, which we'll see we get to. We already know there's a way to define ad as not being past the drunkenness, because there's drink until you get to that point is a mitzvah, but anything past that's not a mitzvah anymore. So we don't know that. What does the basume mean? We're going to see basume, and what does Bein Or Haman? We'll see also. The Shulchan Aruch then. So what does he write in the Shulchan Aruch? And this is where the problem arises. He writes these words. Chayav Inish, the basume before you, Adil Yada Bein Or Haman, Levarach Mordechai. He actually quotes the Gemara. So most people I've spoken to will tell me that it doesn't mean you look at this independent of everything else in a vacuum and say, see, he says get drunk. You have to understand what the words actually mean. And in order to find that out, you go back. Go back to the Beis Yosef. You go back to the Ran. You go back to the Gemara, and you see what is he actually saying. There is a halacha learned from here. No question about it. But what is the halacha is what you have to understand and interpret. And it seems not to be to get drunk. The halacha is to do something. That is to drink for a certain point until a certain level. And we're going to see what the reasons are and what the goal is through this drinking that one has. But right here, the Haggah, the Ramah writes right away, V'yish Omrim, there are those that say, that you don't have to get so intoxicated. Drink a little more than you're used to doing and take a nap, doze off, go to sleep. And while you're sleeping, you are incoherent, you're asleep, you're unconscious. Therefore, you do not know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai, and the Kol HaDeos, according to all opinions, you would fulfill your obligation, so take a quick nap. I believe, I remember Rabbi Willig used to say that he would have a suda in the morning, which is another halacha, one probably should have a suda a little earlier in the day, take a little bit to drink, take a quick nap, and that's it. And he did a 15-minute nap, and you're good to go, and you're set for the rest of the day, and you've accomplished everything, the chadchila, according to everybody. The Arama adds the last line here, important though, v'echad amarbe, v'echad amamit, it's one person who drinks excessively, one drinks a little bit. You should always have your heart in the right intention. Everything should be the same shemayim right off the bat. Getting drunk for the sake of being drunk is certainly not the halacha, even according to that opinion. At least, if it's shem shemayim, you can open up a little explanation as to why someone does what they want to do.
Is it drinking so you become drowsy and fall asleep?
To him it is, probably, yes.
Is that what you're
okay? Yeah, a little drowsy from that, which is not so hard. If someone doesn't drink regularly, you know, as you said, one cup of wine right. Certainly would be enough to make them a little drowsy. Especially if you're on an empty stomach, you could certainly get to that point quickly and then doze off a little bit. But that's the Ramah's minimal recommendation that you can fulfill all your obligations that way. The Taz is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And explaining the word the Shulchan Aruch then, in the bottom of the page, he says, Rabim rotzim l'taretz ulefaresh ma'akavanah b'zeh. Many people want to come and explain what on earth is the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, talking about. What is his intent with this? Lo nisyasheva, I don't like any of their answers. Ulanias daite, in my humble opinion, I want to explain it in this way. A man has to do something. To give praise to Hashem, al tova kifula, for the double goodness that he did with us on Purim. What's the first thing? He brought down our enemies. That's very good for us. He brought down our enemies. And even if he did just that, he lowered Haman without blessing Mordechai, Elahaya Nitzol, Im Kol Yisrael. Mordechai would just be like everybody else of the Jewish people who were saved by bringing down Haman. Dayenu, that's enough. So that's one level. He could have just knocked down Haman. That's great. Fantastic. We're saved. That's over Haman. Knocked down Haman, saved us. We're all happy. Ella, but rather, Shebrichol Mordechai Begdula Ma'od. He did more than that. Not only was Haman knocked down, but he went one step further. He took Mordechai and put Mordechai up all the way. Those are independent actions. They don't have to be one or the other. Saving us from Haman is enough, but doing both is two separate things. So he also raised Mordechai, elevated Mordechai. That tova yiseira, and that's even greater goodness that God did for us. Al kein amar, therefore it says, sarich levasume, you want to drink, ad shelo yada ma'alasenu, that we don't know what's best for us, min oro Haman, from cursing Haman, shezem ma'palashelo, which is his falling down, his being pushed down and subdued, levarach Mordechai, and the blessing of Mordechai, shezem ma'alasenu, which is raising us up, shnia, a secondary aspect of it. The intention is, and we drink until we don't know, that implies that before one gets intoxicated, you could know this, you could think about these two aspects of what Hashem did for us. One is pushing Haman down, subduing Haman, and one is elevating Mordechai. They're two different things. You drink enough, you start losing track of which aspect is important, which aspect is which action Hashem did refers to which category. But until then, you're still giving praise to Hashem and appreciating Hashem and thanking Hashem and singing for Hashem. And then you stop drinking. Because at that point in time, if you get past that and you no longer can do this, you can no longer think about the two aspects of what God did for us, you're not doing anything. You're not accomplishing anything. There's no reason to drink anymore. So it's odd, again, until that point. And after that, there's certainly no benefit to have any more alcohol in your body system. Yes?
Some of the drinking is only tied to
Purim
or Simchas Torah, but not
to
say
Chanukah. So it's not tied to Simchas Torah, halacha. That's a made-up modern thing. There's no din in drinking on Simchas Torah. So Purim, we're going to see why wine is very important in Purim. We'll get to that. Taz next on top of page 2. Now regarding the Ramah. he says, the one shouldn't drink a lot. Had amarava begemara ad shelo yada bein arham and chuli nidcha meimrazu. He reads like the Ran, and he quotes the Ran, the Beis Yosef, that the whole point of the story is that he's, in his words, the maskanas hagemara is ein la'asos kain. One should not do such a thing and not get to the point of drunkenness that is mentioned here. There's no question, and stay below that level. So he's saying that according to the Shulchan Aruch, one should drink until that level while you're thinking about two different ideas of Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai, and he says, according to the Ramah, one should not even get to this level. There's no reason to ever get to this level. Have a little bit, get a little drowsy, and you're good, and then even doze off a little bit is even better, and that's it. And that's the end of, that's his explanation of the Ramah. Mesfas Emes, in the next paragraph, says that, again, one should not have alcohol in his body to the point of shichrus, of drunkenness. And in the second line, he says, second line of Mesfas Emes, dechol hayom, five words in, dechol hayom, all day, mechuyav la'asok b'mishteh. You have to deal with drinking parties, deal with celebrating. Ve'ad lo yada adayin hachiyuv alav. And until you don't know the difference of these ideas, Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai, you have an obligation to keep being involved in a mishteh, in a party. La'afuke, to exclude, kishyagia l'shirzeh. Again, once you get to that level, once you cross that threshold, that's it. There's no obligation whatsoever anymore. You're out of the range of being obligated to do anything. Just try to have a little bit along the way thinking about Hashem and praising Hashem for the two aspects that he didn't say this on that day. So he's basically what he's saying in terms of a brisker derech explanation. There's a kiyum mitzvah, fulfillment of a mitzvah, for every drink you have until you get to that level. So you have one drink, great, two drinks, fine. Once you get past that level, though, there's no more mitzvos. You're out of it. You're out of the range of mitzvos. You're just doing drinking for no reason. The Shla then also, in the next paragraph, he defines the word basume for us. And he says that basume definitely does not mean drunk. Why? Because he says there is a word for drunk, which you've been saying all along, and the word for drunk is shechrus. It doesn't say shechrus in the Gemara. It says l'basume. That's not the same thing. If it wanted to tell you to get drunk, it would say l'ishtaker, get drunk. It doesn't say l'ishtaker. So it inherently doesn't mean that, because it would say what it means. Basume means have a little to drink. That's the meaning of the word basume, which now fits back, plug that back into the Shulchan Aruch, and it's explicitly clear. Chayav inish l'basume, you have an obligation to drink a little, until you don't know the difference, is what the Mechaber is really saying. No one implies that it means to get drunk. Rashi actually says in the Gemara, l'ishtaker b'yayin. He does say that it means to get intoxicated with wine, but again, it doesn't give a threshold, doesn't give a level, so a measurement. But the Shlosh is outright, it's the wrong word if it meant to say get drunk. Shikr. Comes up drunk. Exactly, shikr. Doesn't say become a shikr. Mishneh Berurah. Halach l'maisa, Mishneh Berurah often is a good place to go. Middle of the page 2. Bein Or Haman. What does it mean? Again, he says, Shazem ha'pala rishana. This is one level of the falling of Haman, shenital nekama rabah mimenu, that Hashem took revenge upon Haman by hanging him and his sons and wiping out his family. And as we said, it's an extra level benefit God gave us by blessing Mordechai. That Hashem blessed him, shalal lemala rosh, that he became elevated as second in command, second to the king in to Achashverosh. And again, combine the ideas we had before. Before one gets intoxicated, an individual certainly gave thanks to Hashem al shtei atovos, on both these things. Again, the subduing of Haman and the elevation of Mordechai. Therefore, Chazal teach us, one should not stop from giving praise to Hashem in happiness on this, until you don't know the difference anymore between those two aspects of what God did for us. That's the whole theme they keep repeating. That we get so involved in thanking Hashem that the difference between this one and this one, Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai, it's the same thing. It's God saved us, God takes care of us, God chose us, God protects us, God elevates us, God sustains us. All the great things God does for the Jewish nation throughout the last several thousand years. Vayein Be'or Zeruah, he goes further to say, Demikol Makom, Yir Eli Hiyos Zahir, one should certainly be very careful. Binyan Tilas Adayim, washing your hands before you eat the meal. Ubrikas Hamotzi, making a bracha appropriately. Ubrikas Hamazon, and benching appropriately. V'yesim Chashel Mitzvah, and has to be the happiness should come from mitzvah. Not from drinking, but from mitzvah. Fine, that right away is a very important explanation. I was just telling you before, years ago in Gross, I had someone stay at when I left, it was Friday Purim. I left to go away for Shabbos, and we put someone to sleep when he was in a state that he couldn't control himself, so we put him into a bed. I came back once to Shabbos, he's still in the bed. All right? That means he missed all these mitzvahs. He certainly missed benching, that's for sure. He missed mincha, marav on Friday, shachris on Shabbos morning, musaf, mincha, marav. All right? That's what he missed. Kiddush, they go on and on, what he missed. Kriyas HaTorah. So there's a lot going on that he didn't do that clearly, any possible mitzvah that he had, it was a hefseid and everything that he lost. Yoruch HaShulchan. He's a contemporary of Mishneh Berurah, next paragraph, very important, Yoruch HaShulchan, because he's asking the question that many people ask. He quotes Rabbi Yossi Yosef again, of course, because that's the author of the Shulchan Aruch. B'Sifro HaGadol, he wrote in the Shem Yorchas Chaim, as I quoted, that it's Isur Gomer. Second line, he says the Isur Gomer. He quotes that, the Halacha. Yorcha Shulchan, of course, the difference between Yorcha Shulchan and the Mishnah Berurah, very importantly, they were contemporaries. We today all learn the Mishnah Berurah, essentially, as a Psak Halacha. During those times, people looked at Yorcha Shulchan. He was a Rav of a town, he gave Psak Halacha. And if you go through his Svarim, he's giving Psak Halacha. We discussed last year a little bit, Yorcha Shulchan's brother-in-law was in Itziv, who we're going to see. His son is the Torah Tamima. I also wrote the Baruch Shamar, another commentary on Tvila. He was the Posek. There's actually a fantastic, fantastic article in Tradition Journal in 1994 or 5 on why we switched from going from following the Yorcha Shulchan's halachos to the Mishnah Berurah, about World War II and the destruction of European Jewry led to a whole different Mesorah that we have, the loss of Mesorah. So very, very good article if you get a chance to read it. Anyway, he goes on to say, and if you want to explain Ke'ezo Perush, any other explanation we can give about this line in the Shulchan Aruch, Shnis Pa'er, that we explained, why did the Beis Yosef write the words of the Gemara in the way that he did? Unclear. It's unclear if you want to interpret them literally or the way we're trying to explain them. Because you can walk away thinking that he means Shechras. You can. You certainly can. That's what people do. He says, why did he do that? He says, I don't know. He's saying right off the bat, it's not the Halacha. That is not doubting. But he says, so why did the Beis Yosef write it that way? He doesn't know. The explanation I've been given to people is that the reason is he's quoting the Gemara. It's often the derech of the Mechaber to quote the words in the Gemara. It's our responsibility to know what the Gemara is talking about. That's what learning's about. And if we want to misinterpret it, that's up to us. But if you want to interpret it correctly, we have that opportunity also. Could he have been more clear? Of course he could have been more clear. I think we do the Taz commenting on it, and the Aruch HaShulchan commenting on it, and the Mishnah Berurah commenting on it, and all the other commentaries on it are all saying the same thing, though. This is what he meant. We're telling you what he meant. And that's how you often learn Halacha. What do they mean? Bottom of page 2, the Shaar Tziyun, it's written by the Mishnah Berurah. It's his footnotes to what he's saying in the Mishnah Berurah. And he says, very important, 5 lines, Vayein b'yad Ephraim be'ur nechmad bazeh. Very unusual wording. He says, you want to know a good explanation for all this? Go look at the Yad Ephraim. So I got an idea. What should we do next? We should look at the Yad Ephraim. We're going to do that because he told us to go look there. He then quotes the Magen Avraham, very simply, when everyone knows the story, that maybe the difference in Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai is a gematria. Right? That the gematria of Aruch Haman equals the gematria of Baruch Mordechai. And if you drink enough and you can't do the math in your head, you fulfill your obligation. He quotes the Magen Avraham. Fine. Top of the next page, the Yad Ephraim. 4 lines down. 4 lines down the middle of the line. V'liat Zair. Everybody have it? 4 lines down? V'liat Zair. Me, the young one, he says. Misparesh b'chizyon alayla. Had a dream. Shakavanahu. That the meaning of all this is. Sheikara chiyuv shalamishtahu. That the essence of the obligation of the celebration and partying that we have on Purim is. Sheyesh sharui b'simcha. You have to be happy. You must be happy. T'kidichsiv. As it's written in Tehillim, the Yain Yisamach Levav Enosh, wine gladdens the heart of man. We're going to see that's a very important phrase. This comes from the paragraph of Tehillim Kuv Dalet, Baruch Hinavshi, which we say every Rosh Chodesh, describing creation and the natural world around us. And telling us that what is the natural drug of Simcha? Wine. Wine is a natural drug of Simcha. You want to be happy? You take some wine. Very few people say, I want to be happy, I'm going to take a bottle of vodka. Doesn't work that way. You look at the streets, and the homeless, unfortunately, people are drunk. You drink vodka, scotch, you get drunk on that, not because you're happy. Because you're depressed. Right? Happy, you take wine. No, the other way around also is probably true. If you're unhappy, you don't only take wine usually. It's too much alcohol you need, and there's too much drink to have it to enjoy the effects or to expect the effects of the alcohol. So wine is the drug of simcha. And then once you're happy, the gladness of Hashem will be your strength. You got to channel that happiness to serving Hashem. Todos v'halel Hashem. And you give thanks and praise to God, Al HaNes, for the miracle. Mitoch Harchavas HaLev, with a gladdened and expansive and widened heart. That's what the wine does. It opens up our hearts. It removes some of our inhibitions. Not always a good thing, but it removes some of our inhibitions. We get more relaxed. We get more friendly, cheerful. And now we can praise Hashem with all of our soul. Because it opens it up to not be held back and embarrassed around other people around us. We're all in. Now we can start singing and dancing and praising Hashem. The Avaldaz Shamru. This is actually a misprint. Agavru Chamra Adarantike. It's Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says that they used to, when the story given there, when children weren't speaking at the table to some Amorai, and they said, give them some wine, they'll open their hearts and relax them. They won't be nervous anymore. So, as wine can often do to people. V'lachein, therefore, Ein lo lishtake yosei midai. Again, you should not get too intoxicated. She's balbel da'ato. It's going to mess up your mind. That if you do get to that point, you'll no longer think about the power and the essence of this miracle that Hashem did for us. Possession Amar, and this that it says, according to the Gemara, Kach Ad huv lo ad v'chlal. Again, drink until that level and no further. Never get further. Ratzel Omar wants to tell you, shegadoch yu v'ashtia v'zeh v'vasume ad gvul d'lo yada. It's a mitzvah to drink until that boundary. There are boundaries in life. Boundaries in halacha. Shemina gvul hazeh v'hala, from this point further, hu bitul kavanas chiyuv shechivu chachamim l'vasume. You've nullified any obligation you may have if you go past that and go over that line, over the threshold, into a point where you don't belong. Kedei sheyitein halel v'hoda'ah. Because you're supposed to be praising Hashem and thanking Hashem is the point of all this. Shekevan shispabel da'ato, once your mind is no longer lucid, kokach, you no longer have any knowledge or understanding, the Shabbach, Lufa'er, to praise, to glorify, Altoka Fanes because of the miracle, Vesponin Alab, and to think about it, contemplate it. Sorry, Vesponin Alab, I contemplated this dream in the morning, Ve'ezi Kinachonu. I saw this is the correct interpretation of what's going on. He then goes on to explain further then what's the Gemara saying and what's the story here. And he says clearly, the story is here as an example, that's not the halacha. Don't ever get to this point because it nullifies the entire statement of why you're drinking in the first place. So what does he add? This is the Mishnah Berurah likes, that wine is something that's going to be used as a natural drug of simcha, basically. It's to channel that nature that Hashem put us on this earth to see in order to serve Hashem with it. That's very important. So the bottom of the page, Bir Halacha, also written by the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Meiri, who says again, not to get drunk, it's a mitzvah to be happy, with understanding and under control. And then he quotes the Chayadam also, that if it's going to lead to you to violate any mitzvahs, or to not do a mitzvah appropriately, then it's still no good. What's the most immediate mitzvah you're going to have after you drink at the Suda on Purim? The most immediate mitzvah one will come into contact with that you may not be able to do? Birchas HaMazon, beautiful. Birchas HaMazon. He says, if you can't do Birchas HaMazon right, this whole thing's useless anyway. So right away, he's telling you, you can't get to a point. It's only Maariv. Go to Maariv on Purim night is an experience. Bir Halacha, then the bottom says, if this is all true, why? He says, why? If it's such a dangerous thing, and such a bad thing, and such a stumbling block for a Jew to ever be drunk, then why would they even put us in a situation to do this? Why bring it up? Why even tempt us? Why create a situation where we have to drink for a mitzvah purpose? And the Yishlamari goes on to say, because all the miracles in the story written in Megillas Esther deal with wine. Right? You have the party with Vashti, you have the drinking party with Haman. Wine repeats itself several times. And that's why, as a Zechel Nes, we drink wine. That's top of page 4. The problem with that is, what I think is, on Hanukkah, for example, there's a mitzvah brought down, a custom certainly, to eat fried foods. Right, anything fried in oil, usually latkes, right? Potato latkes, because it's fried in oil. So it's a zecher for the miracle done with the oil, we're told. Okay, I've never seen any halacha in the Shulchan Aruch about how many latkes do I have to have yotze the mitzvah. No one discusses that. Eat some latkes, go right ahead. So we're spending so much time here saying you have to drink on wine in order to be zecher the mitzvah, because you have to remember the miracles that were done with wine. It seems to be a little bit of a stretch. Well, again, why would they do that to us? What's the importance of the wine? That's what we can answer now. What's the whole point of all this? The next page, page 4, we're not going to go through that, is from Parshas B'Shalach. We read the last part on Purim. It's Kriyas HaTorah on Purim is the bottom half of the page. This is the first battle we have with Amalek. The Bnei Yisrael they walk out of Mitzrayim. They have many miracles going on for them from Mitzrayim. Water is brought for them from Har Sinai, because they're complaining that God doesn't know what's going on, and they want to know, Hayesh Hashem v'kubeinu imayim. Does God know what's inside us? That's the question they ask. So they're complaining that we're thirsty, they have no water. Does God really know what's inside us? Hayesh Hashem v'kubeinu, is He really among us? Is the word that's in bold on Pasuk Zion. Hayesh Hashem v'kubeinu imayim. Is God really with us or not? What immediately happens when you ask that question? Next word is bold print, Vayav Amalek. That's going to lead to the coming of Amalek. The next line tests where it's bolded. How was this battle fought? Moshe El Yehoshua. Moshe is the leader. Right? So the leader is in charge. He fights battles years later. So here, Amalek comes and attack. And what does Moshe say? Yehoshua, do me a favor. Go take some men and go fight. I'm going to hang out over here on top of the mountain. I'll watch. Oh, that's so nice. Thanks for watching. Why don't you come and fight with us, Moshe? He doesn't fight in this battle. And then in Yud-Aleph it says, we all know the story. When Moshe's hands are in the air, they're successful, and his hands are down, they're not successful. So Moshe hands up, successful, hands down, they're not successful. What's going on in this battle? What is going on in this fight? Why is Yeshua out there? Why is Moshe watching? What is the hands doing in the air? So, next page, page 5. The Netziv on Chumash. Great commentary. And Chumash gets into the topic of what exactly is happening here. There are two parts to the Netziv here. The top is Ha'amek Davar, second is Archev Davar. The top one is his commentary on Chumash that goes straight through, and the bottom one here he expands some ideas. Hayish Hashem Mekubeinu Imayin. He goes on the question Bnei Yisrael asked: is God amongst us or not? Hadavar Pele. This is astonishing. He says, Ich Nistafku. How could they have any doubt? Acharei Ro'am Amur Eish V'Anan. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the pillar of cloud. And many miracles until this point they saw also. They left Makos and Mitzrayim, they had Kriyas Yamsuf, the Kule Alma Yade de Lo'avid Ela Kuchabrichu. And they all know, they all worship one God at this point. They already know that they served Hashem. And the Torah told us, what did it say? Vayaminu Vashem Umoshe Avdo. We know it, they believe in God. Well, if you believe in God, what are you asking? You told me you believe in God. Did you or don't you? Which is it? Because it can't be both. Omnam Yesh Azesh Neofanim Tzodkim. There are two ways to look at this, he says. Chada, one. They knew very well that now, at the moment they were in, the time they were in, the present tense, Hashem Imam Sin, God is with them, no doubt, and God does miracles, no doubt. He splits the sea, he does Mako, it's amazing, it's crazy stuff going on, we're seeing things we've never seen before. What were they afraid of? This is great, as long as Moshe is with us. And whenever Moshe goes, Hashem's with him. That's Moshe. He goes, Hashem's right there behind him, or up to his side. And he's doing everything Moshe wants, Hashem does. So if you have God right there in your presence, then yeah, everything's fantastic. Nothing to worry about. But they knew that the leadership of Moshe isn't eternal. Eventually, Moshe's a human being. Eventually, Moshe's going to die. He won't be there anymore. And that's what scares them, right? If you know that this person's here at all times, and you're always good when that person's there, but there's one day he's not going to be there, that would scare you, that when he disappears, what's going to happen to you now?
Chedego.
Chedego, exactly. He's not even gone forever. He's gone a few days, right? Exactly. Very good. And we have to believe. Shagam believes in the glim. Even without revealed miracles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Hashkachaso Shareh B'Kirbeinu. Hashem is, and His divine providence is dwelling amongst us. Dal Davar Zeh, and regarding this idea, this Tapku, they doubt it. Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu B'li Koach Moshe. Is Hashem with us without the strength, without the powers, without the talents of Moshe? Umashkiach aleinu b'halichos ha-teva. Can he have divine providence in the natural world? Right? What's the whole story of Purim? We're going to see is that story. The whole story of Purim. There's no mention of Hashem's name in the Megillah. It doesn't appear once. Why? Because it's a nine-year story, and everything takes place behind the scenes. Where you can look at the story and say, God's not there at all. Or you can look at the story in the big picture and say, God was there every step of the way. But if you were living in the moment, the people living through the story of Purim didn't know that. Even at the end of the Megillah, we're told that Mordechai and Esther sent out another letter to describe the Tokef Anis. They have to tell them, Eskol Tokef, what happened here? Because they don't get it. They lived 9 years, and they don't see it necessarily. And we have the same thing in our lives. You can look over the last 25 years or something and see events, and you start to put together, wow, it's amazing how this led to this, led to this. Each of our personal lives, you see it also sometimes. I didn't get into this program that I wanted, but I got this one instead. I didn't get this job, but this one turned out better instead. This house fell through, but I got this one instead. It takes time. In the moment, you don't see it. But the time, you look back, and you can see things fall together very nicely, thank God. We discussed in Tefillah last year, Sha'asa li kol tzarki is in past tense. Right? Why in past tense? Because only looking back on it can you see that Hashem took care of all your needs. In the moment, you don't always see it. So they were afraid here also. They were afraid that maybe Hashem doesn't deal with us daily through our natural world order. Because they lack this faith, specifically Amalek has to come after them, as it's going to be explained later on. Shenis, where it's underlined. Shenis, secondly. Did Hashem really know what's going on inside us? Does He really know what's inside me? I'm me. Does He know what's inside me? In Tzme'im Hema Olo. They said they were thirsty. They weren't thirsty. They had water, so it wasn't true. They wanted, does God really know that? Does He know if I'm thirsty or not? I say I'm thirsty. Does He know if I am or I am not? And the Midrash says, they're actually asking, is He amongst us? Doesn't mean amongst us, in the room with us. It means amongst us, inside me. Inside is my kerev. Is He inside my body to know what I'm thinking? He says, actually, these two ideas go hand in hand. What are the two ideas? One, does God know what's inside me? And two, can He help me to have hashgacha on my life in the natural world order? That's two things go hand in hand. If He knows all my lacking and needs and everything that goes on inside my body, then now He can help me in the natural world. If He doesn't know what's inside me, then He can't. If Hashem knows what's lacking for everyone, then it's understood that you can then go ahead and fix it, what's missing to you. Even without a magical, revealed miracle. Pasuk Tes. Moshe el Yoshua, so he calls Yoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu l'haros the Yisrael. Moshe wanted to show the Jewish people, He wanted to show them that divine providence can help them in the battle. Divine providence, right? His hands go up, hands go down. But without a miracle. There was no major miracle. It wasn't Moshe zapping them or splitting the sea or Makos coming down and anything, or Moshe throwing ash in the air and Makos coming from the ash. None of that happened. It was Yeshua, take an army, like we normally do, and go fight the war. That's what you do. I'm not involved. Can you lead a natural, normal, average human being battle on the battlefield? Al Kain, therefore, Sidem L'chamazo B'derech HaTeva. The battle had to be natural. Moshe is not created for that such action. Moshe is a miracle man. That's who Moshe is. So Moshe had to exclude himself from the battle, remove from the battlefield, because no miracles allowed here. Alkein tzivas Yoshua. That's why he commanded Yoshua. Bechar lanu anashim, choose for us men, giborim, kederach lechama, bederach hateva. Who'd you choose? Get the warriors. Get the strong men. No games here. Don't say everyone learns Torah a lot, so they're going to be very good in everything they do. That doesn't work here. I want strong, good warriors to go fight the battle, get an army together.
If it doesn't mention that the miracle, like it says that Moshe was the miracle man, so he couldn't be there, why were his hands up and they're like, they were
excellent. Okay, so, next thing, Achid Davar. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah asks the question, right? The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah quotes this pasuk and it says, was it Moshe's hands that caused the battle? Or Moshe's hands that caused him to be defeated? Why are we mentioning here the story of Moshe's hands? And the answer given there is, when his hands are in the air, it directed everyone on the battlefield to look at their eyes to Shemaim and think about Hashem controlling their actions. And when his hands were down, they weren't reminded of that and they weren't focusing on God. That's the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, okay? So that his hands were not doing anything for the battle, but they were more to guide the Jewish people who were fighting. Always remember, we're fighting on behalf of God, and God's going to control what's going on. But you got to think that. You got to have kavanah, that God's in charge. If you think God's not in charge, they won't be in charge. They'll let you fight on your own. Right? So that's what the hands are doing. So that's the question here. So what the Nesiv writes here at the bottom, the whole thing in this discussion here is this. They ask this question, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, only on this. When Moshe raises his staff and splits the sea, why don't they say, is it Moshe's staff that's splitting the sea? No one asked that question. Right, the staff didn't split the sea. Right, God split the sea. Or when Moshe throws the ash in the air and comes down and creates makos on them. Does he say, is Moshe causing this mako to happen? No. When he touches the water, makes it, when Aaron touches the water, makes it into blood. No one says, is it Aaron making it blood? Or is God making it blood? Right? No one asks that question or any of that stuff. Why? Because each one of those things that I mentioned is a miracle. We know that. It's a miracle. So who cares how it got there? Let's just hand and split the sea. I don't care about that. But here, this battle is not allowed to be a miracle. So now when you tell me that when his hands were in the air, they were successful, and his hands were down, they were unsuccessful, and I can say to you, well, it was miraculous. They go hand in hand. That's not allowed here. Not allowed here. Has to be something not miraculous here. So what was it? The Mishnah tells us that when his hands were in the air, it was directing them to think about God. And when his hands were down, they weren't thinking about God. So it had to be a different answer only in this case, because there's no room for miracles here, he says. It has to be a natural battle, just thinking about God being, with Hashgacha Pratis, involved in our lives here. So the answer to the Baal Ma'alag is teaching them, and yes, God knows what's going on. As long as you bring God into your life, God knows what's going on. You want to think about God controlling anything in your life? He knows what's going on. He'll help you. He'll fulfill your needs. He'll take care of you. But you got to think about God for that to happen. But it answers the question then for them, Hayesh Hashem Yikubeinu Imayin, was God with us or not? That's now explained that of course it is. They have to show it. So when his hands are in the air, they're doing that. But the hands didn't do anything in terms of the battle, because that would have been a miracle, and that's not allowed here. Answer the question? So that's the end of the Nesif here. So what do we have from all this? The entire fight with Amalek all along is understanding about whether or not there's Hashgacha Pratis in the natural world without miracles. That's what we're trying to do. The whole holiday of Purim, that's why it is my favorite day, is it says that Hashem is in our lives. I don't see any miracles, but I can never forget Hashem is guarding everything that goes on, everything that happens. It might take time to see it, but it's there. And how do we celebrate it? We take the natural world, things that are in the natural world that He gave us to live in. We take the wine. And we drink the wine, and we use it for its purpose of making us happy, and expanding our hearts, and loosening us up. But channeling that to do something, what? To give thanks and praise to Hashem. And say to Hashem, I love the fact that you're in my life. I love the fact that you're taking care of me. I'm grateful and thankful that you've done miracles and kept us around for the last several thousand years, despite all odds, which every generation they come to hate us. We see it this week. Every generation they come to hate us. Even in America in the 21st century, they hate us. And still Hashem protects us. And if we channel the natural world to serve Hashem, He'll certainly operate within the natural world to save us and protect us. And that, I think, is the essence of Purim. Again, it's to drink for sure. Drink with a very small limit, with a purpose in mind, that we're taking that wine and we're going to serve Hashem with it. And we're going to thank Hashem for it, and then and do it in an appropriate way, a Ben Torah should always do. Yeah?
One thing that occurred to me, and thank you for putting this share together for us, and thank you for all the sources, one of the things that occurred to me as we've gone through these sources, from the Gemara, through the Rishonim and the Achronim, was that I think, in fact, today we are closer to the concern of the Gemara than the Rishonim and the Achronim have, because the Maisa of Rabba and Rabbi Zeira could easily, unfortunately, happen, especially with we have a lot of new drivers
here. Oh, for sure.
Here, and we actually do have a situation with Sarkota Safosha. So, important to point out for everyone here that, even to be machmir on Sarkota Safosha at the expense of...
Absolutely should. It's more important than anything else, so no question. In the last 10 years, our community, Five Towns community, certainly has gotten more active, finally, in saying this is not acceptable behavior. When I was in this age, when I first started driving, I remember going to a Rav's house to drop off Shalach Manos on behalf of my parents, and he literally was throwing wine at me. And I guess I'm driving, I got to go. And it was very difficult, to say the least, not to think, it's just a couple of minutes, you'll be fine, and, all right, on and on and on. That, today, I don't think that would be acceptable anywhere. Thank God.
Probably to have a drink behind the wheel, I guess the subject for a different share, but is it, is it Shoge Karv Lo? It is a Shoge Karv Lo Mazin. I think it may be Shoge Karv Lo
Mazin. I think nowadays we know it's laws.
Right?
Yeah, that's amazing. I think there's no question. There's no excuse whatsoever to have alcohol and then get behind the wheel. There's zero excuse, I think. Zero. You're putting yourself at risk, other people at risk. There's no question about it. And then the Shem Mitzvah is a total perversion of the Mitzvah, I think, for sure. It's terrible. It's the Mitzvah to do. I have to do it. You don't have to do that. That's putting people at risk for no reason. But very, very good. Any other questions? Again, I thank you very, very much for taking the time out this morning. I hope you got something out of it as well. And very, really, just a call to everyone who made the effort to be here today.